Knowledge Fire. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you. What's your bright spot today?
Oh, this is I was not prepared for this question.
You weren't prepared for this question?
You know how to come out of left field with a question.
I feel like this one should have been prepared for. Look, we've done this question in the past. I'm sure of it.
I do not like this kind of gotcha journalism.
God damn it. We're going back to the days when I used to try and think up questions.
So my bright spot is I don't like to generally buy video games as soon as they come out because usually I think they're overpriced on release. And typically you can have the exact same experience playing a game 2 years later and save money. Like it's generally, I'm very late to the party almost all the time.
Reasonable shopping.
However, I made an exception because I had to get Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remastered the second that it came out.
Of course.
I played the shit out of those games when they first came out. I was just the right age. I was unable to skate because I have terrible balance and I'm afraid of falling.
Of course.
So I could never be a skateboarder, but skateboarding was so cool.
And it's like, very cool.
Just the fluidity of the controls is just so enjoyable. It's just a really fun structure of a game. Like, I've never had any pretense that I was cool.
Do you still like it when you're sober now?
I mean, I don't get high anymore, but yes, it's still so fun.
Still good? Okay.
Yeah, and man, it really... you know, it's kind of limited in terms of, like, because Tony Hawk 1 and 2 were really, like, simple N64 games.
Sure,
levels were small, it's pretty self-contained with just challenges in them.
Yeah.
So, like, the game, the last time I played a Tony Hawk game, the levels were enormous.
Of course.
And sprawling.
Teach you a lesson about asking for what you think you want.
Yeah, and so now it's like, going back to that, it's like, oh my god, these are tiny little levels, but it's very satisfying, and, like, they really did a good job of rendering these areas that I have such visceral memories of skating around in.
Yeah.
It's just great. And then you
totally understand how I feel with Final Fantasy VII
probably
remake, with the scenery, just the scenery itself being like, look at me in this environment.
I think it's a little more probably visceral and extreme for you, but there's a bit of it for me. But the thing that really is maybe the parallel is that when I was 17, 18, Tony Hawk 2 was out, and there's a challenge in it that you have to hit every gap in the game.
Sure.
And I was like, well, I mean, if that's the challenge, I'm up for it.
I'm going to get it.
And so I did. It took forever.
Of course it did.
Super hard.
What gaps?
Super annoying. I got all of them.
Uh-huh.
And as I started playing this game, the new one, the remaster version, I noticed that they have a gap checklist.
Oh, no.
And that makes me think that maybe there is something you get for getting all the gaps. So I may be trying to do that again.
Oh, God damn it, Dan. I can't believe you're going to try and 100% it.
I might. I might.
You know, you got 100% something.
But I really do like the ability to just skate around. It's kind of mindless gameplay. I enjoy that.
It's meditative in a small way.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's my bright spot.
Oh, it's lovely.
How about you?
My bright spot, Dan, is that Djokovic is out of the U.S. Open.
Mm.
It would not be a bright spot because this is one of the weirdest things that has ever happened in tennis in ever. Today, while playing the game, the world's number one player, perhaps the best tennis player of all time, or at least maybe the most perfectly constructed.
Tell that to Agassi.
Accidentally hit a ball that hit one of the line judges in the throat.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he's disqualified.
Right.
So he played one set, and then he accidentally hit the line judge, and they were like, we can't allow you to do this anymore.
What?
So he's out of the U.S. Open.
That's a weird rule.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild,
isn't
it?
That's a rule?
It's totally a rule. You can't accidentally hit, or you can't, like,
well,
hit a line judge with a ball.
But
well, of course not.
It's an accident.
But you can't allow any kind of, like, mitigating, oh, like, well, this is an accident and this isn't an accident.
I guess then you could fake an
accident. No tolerance, exactly.
That's weird.
Or you could argue on your behalf and that kind of stuff.
That's really strange.
Is
the guy's throat okay?
She is doing just fine.
Okay, that's good. Because you can hit those balls pretty fast.
Oh, you can hit it 130 miles an hour.
Yeah, that could do some real damage to a throat.
Kill somebody with a throat. Yeah.
Well, it's good that...
But that means, Dan, for the first time in like 10 years, somebody under the age of 25 is probably going to win a major.
Whoa.
It has been 10 years.
I can see your excitement here. And
I'm very excited.
I apologize that I don't share it, but it's basically the same thing as my excitement when you came in and I showed you my flowers.
Of course. I appreciate your flowers. I am also excited about your flowers.
These cucumber flowers are... I just pollinated them today for everyone out there listening.
I'm just more capable of ebullience, perhaps, Dan.
Yes.
That could be it.
That's
what it is.
That's a good way to put it that doesn't make me sound like a robot or something. I'm incapable of ebullience.
So, I said I'm just more.
Sure. So, Jordan, today we got an interesting episode to go over. We are talking about September 4th, 2020. I'm Dan, this is 2020.
Oh, God damn it.
Going over Friday's episode. And I wanted to do this partially because Thursday's episode, or our Friday episode from last week, was such a disgraceful I need money.
Oh, that was
display.
Bad.
I was wondering if we could get more context clues about stuff or like, see where his head's at on the next day.
Right.
So I decided to check in on that and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Oh, man.
So we will see how Alex ends the week. But before we do that, we can take a moment to say thank you to the folks who have signed up and are supporting the show.
That's a great idea.
So first, thank you so much, Andrew B. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Next, Tonsty. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Tonsty.
Thank you. Next, John M. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Next, Jonathan S. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you. Next, Samantha B., but not the one from The Daily Show.
Sure, of course.
Samantha B.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Samantha.
Next, Jamie W. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. Next, Thomas M. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Thomas.
Thank you. And Matthew C. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you. If you're out there listening, you're thinking, hey, I enjoy the show. I'd like to support what these giants do. You can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com. Clicking the button to support the show, or you could
absolutely take that generosity, bounce it a few times, much like a tennis ball, toss it up into the air, hit a nice serve directly into your local charity or bail fund
throat,
and that is try to avoid the throat.
Accidentally.
Try to avoid the throat. Avoid the throat. Anyways,
right at the charity's throat.
That'll teach them.
Tell people you're in need.
Yes, that would be great.
So before we get to the actual episode, Jordan, we're going to take a little look in the mailbag. Zip. I got to say, this is a confusing look into the mailbag.
Okay.
First, not so confusing. Mm. I'd like to thank Dan, another Dan, as he has signed
name,
this note.
As you have mentioned.
Sent some soaps, some cool soaps.
Yes.
Runs an eBay shop called Alchemic Ablutions.
I believe it's an Etsy shop.
Etsy.
Yes.
What did I say?
eBay.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I just saw the E.
No. I understand.
And my mind went...
No one's going to be unhappy.
An Etsy shop. The Alchemic Ablutions.
Mm-hmm.
Great smelling soap. One of them's got a rubber ducky in it.
It's great.
I'm very excited to eventually get that rubber ducky out of the soap so I can play with it in the tub.
Yeah.
Very cool, and I appreciate that, Dan. Thank you very much. And that, now to the confusing thing that's in this mailbag.
Okay.
I opened up a box.
And there was a real duck in it, and they were like, shower
that would be
it.
Great.
That would be great.
I would love that.
I don't know if you would love that.
Now, maybe for a day.
Could be.
If I could have a duck for a day. Ooh, new business.
Like hanging out with Amelie, a day would be great.
Sure.
Any longer than that, you're like, fuck off, Amelie.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I open up this box.
Sure.
Inside, there's a bag. And it's a bag of potatoes. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Why is there a bag of potatoes in this box? So I look a little bit further into this.
Mm-hmm.
I open up the bag of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually potatoes.
Yes, they are potatoes.
Yes. And you know what else? There's a bag inside the bag of a white powder.
Oh, yes, I know.
And I was like, holy shit, is someone accidentally sending cocaine in potatoes?
No, they are not accidentally sending cocaine in potatoes.
That's
Dan.
What I thought.
That's because, anthrax.
Because I had no idea what was going on. This is super bizarre. I'm like, there is a giant unmarked bag of white powder inside this mysterious bag of potatoes that someone sent to us. What the fuck is going on? It turns out it's salt potatoes.
Yes.
Which is something that I'm unaware of. Apparently, you can buy a big bag of potatoes. And they have a bag of salt in it. You put the salt in the water and you boil the potatoes.
Indeed.
I didn't know that. That's not something that I'm aware of. But that was sent by Jess.
Yes.
And thank you very much, although very confusing. There was no note in it or anything.
Well, Dan, I hate to reveal this to you, but
just an out-of-context bag of potatoes.
Actually, I already got it. What? Or not already got it, but I was messaged by the person who sent that
I've
on
learned
Twitter.
This since.
Yes. I was told all about it. Dan, I do need to share this with you. Whatever you do, do not drizzle butter.
Oh.
All right?
Okay.
You dunk them bitches. Oh. That was her message to me.
It is too,
regarding
it
those,
is too late.
It
I
is
drizzled.
Not too, did you drizzle?
No, I didn't.
Oh, shit.
No.
All right.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Jess. Although, I don't know what I appreciate more, the gift or the confusion. Because it's a real interesting day to open up that box and be like, huh. Is this a message? Is this cocaine?
It's not a horse head in your bed, but it's not that, you know?
It seemed very strange. Yeah. I did not know what was going on, but I appreciate it.
That is one of those moments where you're like, that's right. I'm a podcaster. Yeah. Weird shit happens.
I live a strange life where maybe I get a box of,
maybe
a
get
bag
a box of
potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Random potatoes every day.
Love it.
That happens. It's great. Yep. Don't dunk them.
No, I won't. Okay. So, Jordan, dunking's good. No drizzling.
No. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
He had it backwards.
Switched it up.
Yep. So, here we start off with Alex basically creating and continuing what he has been doing, and that is creating a scenario, an environment wherein no matter what happens in the election, he wins, Trump won, secretly or publicly, and it's time to hunt Democrats.
Of course.
The final countdown as we enter the home stretch into the disaster that will be the contested election of the century. They will then hold the economy hostage. They will then demand Trump step down, or you'll never get your 401ks. And it'll be up to us to remove these criminal scumbags or be their slaves forever.
This narrative is real hard to wrestle with. The this is going to be the most contested election.
Sure.
Because, you know, whether or not anything that Alex is saying about mail-in ballots was true, it probably would be.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's going to be the raw materials that are needed to create chaos no matter what.
Yeah, and whether or not the mail-in ballots thing is true, they're going to say it's true.
Right.
You know? It doesn't matter, yeah.
Building up so much of this stuff in advance really is going to be like, we said this is going to happen.
Right.
Afterwards, which is going to be used to...
Of course. We predicted this the whole way. Mm-hmm. Like nobody else...
couldn't help themselves.
Nobody else has predicted this. There's not a story literally every single day where it's like, people on the left are worried that the election is going to be contested. People
election
on the
monitors.
Right are yeah.
Unpolitically aligned.
Lukashenko has offered us advice. Do you understand? We're not doing well.
Yeah. It's... It's a trap,
totally.
Quite honestly, that Alex has set. That is, there are two possible outcomes, and that is Trump wins or Biden wins, but Trump actually won and it was cheating, and now we have to take out the...
Only two.
Right.
Only two outcomes.
Those are the only two options.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I think that, I don't know, from where I'm sitting, I think there's an unfortunate chance that Trump could win.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think Biden could win. I think we could have trouble.
I just think
there are two candidates.
Sure.
I think either could win.
Sure.
Alex thinks one candidate can win.
Right.
That's it.
I think the only thing that's really starting to give me hope now is that I'm starting to see the right pitch. We're picking the lesser of two evils instead of like Trump is the single greatest. There's little bits of like, okay, look, we know Trump has failed us a lot, but Biden's a socialist murderer who's going to kill everybody. Mm. And it's like, I've heard that kind of argument before. I know how that shakes out.
Yeah, it they're trying to get some of the people who are not as enthusiastic come back around.
Yeah.
So this next clip is really interesting. Alex has some ideas about how the relationship between local and state laws works that I think is strange.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's considering state control of Austin's police department. You see, cities and counties are under the state, and then the states are incorporated into the union, but everything is co-equal between the feds and the states, but shared separation of power. The cities are under state law and the voters. So the UN can come in and take over the cities and get a bunch of Soros district attorneys put in, but the governors and the legislatures can just render them powerless and come in and remove them or make them where they are toothless. That's what needs to happen. That's extremely constitutional. The mayor is calling it, you know, police state and all this crap. No, the mayor is the police state.
Okay. That's a really interesting perspective that Alex has. Apparently, now, the way the Constitution works is that states can effectively completely usurp local and city laws however they want.
Separation of powers.
This is weird, because I remember back in January, Alex and his gun weirdo friends had that big rally in Virginia that was based entirely on the idea that counties were passing resolutions that they would not follow any gun laws passed by the state government.
Sure.
The entire argument at that point was that these local governments had sovereignty, and that if the state government passed laws they determined were unlawful, the counties and cities had the right to nullify them.
Of course!
Now, apparently, because Alex disagrees with areas putting in place public health measures, his whole thing is reversed. Now, if a local or city government passes a rule that the state doesn't like, the state has the right to take complete control and force the local area into following their rules.
Yeah.
This is basically why I don't take any of Alex's positions seriously. The Constitution demands that local government be independent and self-ruled when it has to do with local governments doing things he likes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution demands that the state control local government decisions when local governments are doing things he doesn't like. His positions are meaningless, and he uses ideas like the Constitution and Americana patriotism as props to just to hold up his stupid arguments. I mean, nothing.
The Constitution doesn't need adjectives, you know? Nothing is extremely constitutional. It's just in there or it isn't in there.
Disagree.
It's not like, oh shit, that is in the Constitution.
That's very...
Like, whoa, they put that shit in there.
That's very
that's
in the Constitution.
Way in there.
So far in there.
The whole point is that it's a in or out kind of document, and then you gotta add shit or take it out.
There's degrees. So, Biden made a gaffe... I guess.
Sure.
Sort of.
Okay.
And Alex is mocking him, although the mockery is not really deserved.
Joe Biden rewrites history. Well, that's all they do. Tells Wisconsin audience that Thomas Edison was black. I'm not kidding. And look for Snopes to say it's true. I mean, if Biden says it, it's got to be true. I mean, 2.5 million Americans died of COVID. I mean, well, he said 8 billion died. There's not 8 billion people alive, but whatever. Joe Biden rewrites history, tells Wisconsin audience a black guy invented the light bulb. I love it.
Biden didn't tell people that Thomas Edison was black, but Biden didn't misspeak a little bit.
Okay.
It's not nearly as egregious as Alex is making it out to be, though. At a community meeting in Kenosha, Biden said that a black man invented the light bulb, not a, quote, white guy named Edison. This is one of those statements that's technically not true, but also kind of true. Thomas Edison did invent the light bulb, but shortly after, a black inventor named Lewis Latimer greatly improved the design and made it something that was actually realistically useful to people. Edison's design suffered from a particular issue, namely that the filament that lit the bulb was not very good. According to CNN, quote, his longest-lasting light bulb could only last for about 15 hours before the filament burned out. Latimer came in and made design improvements and invented a more durable filament that allowed the bulbs to last much longer, which was essential to the advancement of electric lighting being accessible and affordable for people to actually use. So technically, Edison did invent the light bulb, but the version he invented was dramatically improved by a black inventor whose name is often ignored in history books. That was the point that Biden was making, which is true, even if he expressed the fact in a slightly inaccurate way.
Sure.
And Alex has every reason to know that.
Right.
He just
Thomas Edison just invented. No, Alex doesn't know.
No.
That, no, absolutely. He doesn't have every reason to know that. He has every reason to ignore that being true entirely.
He has every reason to, if you hear something like that, be like, why would somebody say that? Oh, I should look into it.
Oh, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't do
because, as he mentions later, I heard in Schoolhouse Rock about Thomas Edison and light bulbs. Everybody knows that. All right.
Cool. I understand. Schoolhouse Rock was a great resource for a lot of children growing up.
Yep.
I think you should graduate past it.
Yeah.
That's like me saying that I still apply for Book It.
sure.
I want a personal pan pizzas. Yeah.
So Alex is kind of mad about this because he sees this as the SJWs and the Dems and the Libs trying to insert black people everywhere. Like,
sure.
Yeah, they want to say that black people were involved in light bulbs. Like, well, Lewis Latimer was, you know.
It never occurs to him that black people could be involved.
Right,
everywhere.
Right.
They could be actually involved in literally everything.
Yeah, and it leads him to just a really weird digression.
Okay.
The mental illness of the left making movies where you'll see ancient Rome and a third of the people are black. There were some black people there, maybe 1 out of 1,000.
What?
But the Romans took white slaves, so they didn't have black slaves from the African slave trade.
It's interesting that the only way Alex can understand black people in ancient history is as slaves.
They could just work there.
Yeah.
Rome was really, they took a lot of area. Remember that whole Cleopatra thing with Mark Antony?
Yeah.
Do you know where she was from, Dan?
Africa?
Yes!
Yeah. This is Alex's perspective. Like, it doesn't come from a studied view of history. It's just him projecting white supremacy into the past and assuming he's correct about everything.
Whites have always been supremacist, right?
I don't even really care to dissect this point since there's almost an overwhelming amount of scholarship you can find about diversity in ancient empires. So I'm going to leave it at this. Alex is wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Very
wrong.
Yeah. So Alex gets to predicting what's coming up on the horizon, and it's bad. He thinks that there's going to be a new strain of COVID-19 be released.
A double strain.
By the globalists.
Okay.
And his reason for deciding this is what they're going to do is a familiar thing we've heard.
I predict the deep state will release a more virulent form of COVID-19. They have this whole war gamed out where it's going to be weak. It's not going to kill many. They'll be caught with fake numbers. They'll seem illegitimate. People will be pissed. And then new strains will be released of a super pneumonia that is going to just devastate. I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to pull. I mean, I can look at all the pieces, and that's what I would do if I was them. That's why separately, if you have super amounts of vitamin D3, vitamin C, and zinc in your blood, you basically cannot get these viruses.
Careful.
Oh, careful. You should not go there.
Careful.
That's not good.
Yeah.
You're on the wrong line of that one.
I always just don't like when Alex is like, here's the real super evil plan that the enemy is going to do. And I know that they're going to do this because I've thought about it, and that's what I would do.
I feel
you're fucked up.
I know. In that situation, if you're in their situation, couldn't you be like, what I would do instead is improve other people's lives.
Yeah.
Because I'm a good person and they're evil. Instead, he's like, well, obviously I'm as evil as they are. And in their situation, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yuck. Yuck, Alex. Yep. So he plays a clip of William Barr rambling about mail-in vote fraud. It's a bad clip, but I wanted to play this because it's just so demonstrative of how nothing means anything on Alex's show.
I just like Barr. I mean, he's so well-spoken. He had a talk show. I'd watch it. I hear him on every subject. It's like he actually knows what he's talking about.
Remember just like a couple of weeks, a month or two ago, like he was talking about how William Barr's dad was involved with Epstein. And
traitor.
Yeah.
Yep. Did the whole thing. Really went hard on him. Had a whole day.
Yep.
Just went off on Barr.
Yep.
For all of the ways that he was betraying Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had a talk show, I'd watch.
So great. So well spoken.
I just like him.
I just like the guy.
I just like him.
He's saying the thing I want now.
Until a month from now when he disagrees with me, in which case, guess who's a traitor?
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Whenever he does something I don't like, I'll magically become aware of his dad being involved with Epstein again.
Isn't that crazy? That's so weird.
Yeah, I'll just forget about it for now, though, because it doesn't work.
I wish people would listen to this and be like, oh, that's how it works in a fascist regime.
Mm.
It's like, I really like you, and then you disagree with me, and I don't have any loyalty to you. I'm going to kill you
mm-hmm.
and get rid of you. That's how it always works, Dan.
It's, I think Alex has read a few books.
He might have.
About that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to play this clip because it's a little bit upsetting, but also because Alex, you know, he's wearing his... his familiar jersey.
Sure.
And that is guy who talks about piss a lot.
Right.
At some primitive level, do I want to crack some heads and, you know, metaphysically piss on people that have done this to us? Damn right I do. But I'd rather not go down that road. But I'll tell you, we go down this road, I probably won't survive it. A lot of you won't survive it. But the enemy will be annihilated. This won't be like other wars. They will be ideologically hunted down and dealt with. Because they're doing it to us. They're trying to purge us.
So, so this is going to be an ideological purging, which isn't great. How do you metaphysically piss on somebody?
You just metaphysically piss on them.
Okay.
You know? You just in a gestalt kind of way.
Right.
You know, like in a larger sense.
Yes.
They're getting peed on.
Uh-huh. I feel like...
metaphorically either.
No, metaphysically. Yeah. Well, I like to have fun with words myself. I understand. That's just a little weird. So that's really upsetting. Alex is saying that a lot of people are going to die.
Sure.
He's probably not going to make it. A lot of you aren't going to make it if we metaphysically piss on people.
I just think if you knew that this was going to happen, you would provide a better plan than, well, if I were them, that's obviously what I would do.
I'd just barrel forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Well, here's the thing. Alex is saying that, mic down for this clip, because I want to see if you have the same, like, real strong aversion to it that I did.
InfoWars is about being shock troops that go in and smash the enemy's gateways to then draw out the enemy so we know their real numbers as a gambit, as a pawn sacrifice, so that the main force can come in and win. And that's always been my instinctive job, is the pawn sacrifice. I am the pawn. I am here to be sacrificed. But I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that we have more to do before we reach that point. But it is my intent to become so destructive to the New World Order that they are forced to move. You don't think Colonel Travis wasn't aware of what he was doing. He was sent down there.
He was drunk.
Sent down there to carry out that mission and hoped he'd live, but wrote home to his family that he would probably surely die, victory or death, because there's things bigger than just this short life. There's eternity on the other side. And when you know that, you're not scared anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Now, all of you can decide what you're going to do. It's all about pawn sacrifice. That's how the pawn becomes the king. And not because the pawn wants to be the king. The pawn has to sacrifice itself so that the whole system that's good can survive and not have the evil system take over. This is the true nature of real leadership.
That's pretty upsetting, I think.
Okay.
If you had somebody who was describing like the need for suicide attacks... I didn't want to say that kind of thing.
He pretty much said you should become suicide attackers.
I mean, not directly, but like if you were trying to dance around the idea, that's kind of how you do it.
What we are is the vanguard feint that takes heavy losses so that the main force can rout through the back. Yes, I understand how that works. I don't think he understands how chess works.
No. Yeah, the notion that Alex sees himself as like a diversion in order to like... get the globalists to reveal themselves.
Sure.
Great.
Right.
I know that you're having fun with these ideas and these fantasies.
Right.
Great. Where he loses me is when he suggests that his listeners can be pawn sacrifices.
That's an issue.
That's the part where I get really upset. And quite honestly, I probably wouldn't really even think that much of it, except for the talk in the past couple months that has come up a couple times. Of the idea that someone might need to take one for the team to take out the globalists. Some of you old veterans who don't have much life left, maybe you gotta go.
Sacrifice the 75-year-olds.
Right. These ideas are not stray thoughts for Alex. Mm-mm. These are things that...
they're kind of a fixation more than anything else.
It's hard to say fixation just because, like, it's not like he's constantly talking about it, but it comes up enough that it's like... This is not cool. This is really, really bad.
Yeah. That's just suicide bomber shit.
That's
just what that is. Just like, hey, you should become, you should pawn sacrifice in order to become a king, which doesn't happen in chess.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you, boy.
Yeah, it's troubling. It's troubling.
Oh, man.
So, Alex, as we recall from earlier in the year, Alex was playing a lot of those videos out of China of like people yelling out of windows and stuff, and he was trying to scare everybody with them.
Yeah.
It turns out those are all fake.
Well, that'll happen.
And this is how Alex talks about this now.
Okay.
Remember, just 8 months ago, we're like, well, it looks like it's a bad flu. But they showed you the apocalyptic images and the wailing at night.
You did.
Some zombie movie. People being welded into their homes, but a lot of the footage would show that a cameraman being waved in or a director, and it was being directed. He noticed the guys having bags put over their heads and drug away. Looked suspiciously like they were in too good a shape and everything, and they were police officers. So Communist China did a little Hollywood on us and did a big production to crack down on their own population to make us forget about Hong Kong.
Alex should be discussing this at least at some point, you know, at any point, be like, I got tricked by these videos.
Nah, they showed them to me, and sure, I believed them right away, but see how they were lying? I saw that 8 months later.
I got really excited by the optics of this, and I used it to sell food buckets for a while. And
but it turns out China had thrown a little Hollywood my way.
What I missed was the director just off camera.
I mean, even him saying they threw a little Hollywood at us suggests that he was himself fooled into thinking that it was...
But there's never a recognition of that.
Well, of
there's never that.
He's never been fooled.
No. But I think he has been again.
If you're a TV viewer, you can see footage that we're going to be showing coming up next segment that a journalist that got into the Antifa military training camp. Now, this isn't a CHOP area. This isn't some fake autonomous zone that the city let them set up. This is where they're actually training.
From what I understand, this might have been footage of a camp set up for people who were experiencing homelessness.
Sure.
So, Antifa military training camp.
Man, it's a real like glitch in humanity that if you lie enough, you can just barrel forward through all the times you're wrong. Just like push forward, like in the middle of talking about a thing that you fucked up. You fuck up the exact same
way. There's not nearly enough time to address all the things that Alex is wrong
just
about.
Barrel
so
through
just
it.
Don't ever
just
talk about
barrel
any
through.
Of them.
Yeah.
But look, dude, I mean, Alex is an expert in the field of Antifa. You should know that.
I just don't think so.
Yeah, he is.
I just don't think so.
Listen.
He doesn't even know they're not a thing.
This guy is a fucking... Like, this is... I took a lot of college classes when I was in college.
Sure, yeah.
With a lot of like really respected professors in various fields, a lot of classics professors, and they would speak very eloquently about, you know, Greek history, mythology.
Subjects that they would be considered experts about.
Absolutely. And when I hear Alex talk like this, I'm like, that is the same thing, but about Antifa.
Everybody knows who Antifa is. They're devil worshipping meth head Satanist, and they're 90% white. About 8% Hispanic and about 2% black. I mean, the whitest thing you'll ever be to, we've infiltrated them here in Austin and covered them other areas of the country. The whitest thing you'll ever go to is a Antifa meeting. And it looks like a convention of white ghouls. There'll usually be a super obese black woman there who hates men. An obese lesbian Marxist will usually be the semi-commander. And then there'll usually be a crazy Chinese agent. A young woman will just hate in her eyes. And then you go to the meetings. We've got undercover video. We've shown it here. We've confronted them. You've seen them.
Nope. But yeah. So, I mean, look, expert.
I think that's taking tokenism to a new level, personally, if you're picking, like, not just, like, we need a demographic. We need a black person, otherwise this is going to look too monochromatic.
Sub-commander.
We don't need a black person. We need a giant list of qualifications.
That's just him taking that from Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yeah.
He's just heard that Jesse Lee Peterson's characterization of Black Lives Matter folk. And he's just taking that on as his own, like, characterization of all the black women who are involved in protests.
Not the first one to say that any woman speaking up for herself is a lesbian.
Certainly not.
No.
But I enjoy the addition of a angry, crazy young female Chinese
agent.
Like
that. I do like that. I like that she's got a femme fatale feeling to her.
Kind of, I
see her a little bit of an assassin.
She's mysterious.
Yeah.
I think that this is Alex's fantasies.
I've got to say that's racist too. That's so
undoubtedly.
Yeah.
But like Alex fantasized about like, oh yeah, we stumbled onto the Antifa clubhouse. They're all the same. It's always like this. Just a bunch of white people.
What clubhouse?
I don't know.
Even now, it's like Zoom meetings.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
So Alex goes to calls, and this first caller, not great. She seems to think that what the feds should do is disappear protesters.
See,
more.
That is an issue.
Let's go to Jacqueline in Virginia. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Are you welcome? Hi, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. My son adores you, so I just want to let you know. But I just wanted to call to say,
I love you.
About these riotings, these BLMs, and these crazy folks out in Portland and wherever else they're out there rioting, looting, and acting a fool. I think that they should take them and just put them in the Fed should take them like they had been doing, or putting covers over them in black vehicles, taking them away. They should take all of them over to the Epstein Island, drop them off, make sure they have no way of coming back. That way we don't have to worry about them anymore. And to top it off, put the cherry on the top, take the Democrats with them too.
That would that's what people would do, is put folks into exile. And if they hate America and doesn't think it should exist and say they want to blow it up and destroy it and say death to America, absolutely.
That's so dumb. I mean, just from logistical reasons, from the idea that you're supporting disappearing of people like that, you know, but I mean, like, there are other people have boats.
As a system of government, yeah. I think she's way wrong. Mm-hmm. If I were a reality TV show producer.
Right.
Ooh. I'll toss a bunch of protesters on Epstein Island and see what happens. That can't go wrong.
I know that way, way, way back, we pitched a show called Grifter Island.
That's true. We did do that.
Or Con Man Island, something like that. We could use Epstein's Island.
I think
Island
she listens to our show. I think she's got that. Yeah. She knows my vibe.
I would say that in the modern day,
sure,
it's not possible to exile someone on an island.
We used to exile people is also like, we used to draw blood as a medical treatment. Let's just move on.
Let's take this thinking a little further because it's fun. So like, all right, we want to exile these people on an island, but we can't because other people have boats and they could just show up and then they get off the island really easily.
It's very easy to transport.
Or you could make a raft. These days, people are more capable.
Totally.
Anything. Oh, maybe there's a bunch of boats there. Who knows?
And if you got willing protesters, you can make a raft out of them too. Who knows?
So it'd be very easy to get. So what we got to do is we got to take them to space. Space exile. Right. We got to take them to space.
All
right. And now we are living inside the movie Ghosts of Mars.
Yeah, that's a great movie, too. If you've got Ice Cube fighting for you, you know you're on the team of right.
So this caller is wrong about how the Fed should behave.
Yeah.
And has a dumb solution. So great. One for one, Alex.
Nobody who says the Feds should disappear people ever thinks that they might be the ones getting disappeared sooner or later, right?
Which is really interesting because Alex always talks about how, like, you know, the people who facilitate authoritarian rises are the first ones to be taken out by those regimes.
Yeah!
Seems like...
Seems very obvious.
So Alex starts rambling about the devil, as is his wont in the present day. And so he talks about how Satan's going to go get himself locked up in his own prison.
All right.
But I will assure you, the way God works is, it will be Satan locked in the prison that Satan is building for us.
Mm.
Hell is the prison that
hell,
the devil
hell is for
made
children.
For himself with all his servants, like David Rockefeller, now in hell. Like the Rothschilds, now in hell. Like all of them in hell. Selfish, stupid, greedy, cancers, failures, nobodies, nothings. Not the winners, the losers. All right, I'm going to your calls. That calls all over the place. Calls everywhere. I'll just say this briefly. yesterday I leveled with people, and I don't like doing stuff like that.
He's talking about
the money.
Yeah,
yeah, he's talking about how he got a bunch in. Yeah,
got a bunch in.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
it just
turns out you do an entire show where you're yelling about how everyone's got to give you money to save the world.
Sure,
and maybe some people will give you money. Oh wow, yeah. What a shock!
I've always really liked his Satan. You know, like Satan for him is very like. Very capricious.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be paying all that much attention.
Certainly.
Kind of not really.
Didn't do a whole lot to stop the one thing that could destroy his plans, which is Alex.
Yeah. Like, he's just kind of a laid-back guy. I see his Satan as being a real great Satan, you know?
Chill Satan.
God, yeah, God kicks him out, and he's like, what am I doing fighting? I'm just going to get back here. I've read the book. I've read the Bible. I know where I'm going to wind up. Why bother?
Yeah.
I'll just make a half-assed gesture towards God and be like, look, we're still fighting. Yeah. Alex is kicking my ass. I don't know what I'm doing.
Hey, God. You deal with Alex?
You want to get Alex off my back? This fucking guy.
Yeah. I just like I need to put a really sharp focus on this because Alex pretends to be a news show.
Yes. Yes.
In that clip, he's asserting, number one, that hell exists.
It does.
He is not established. Not
true.
Cannot prove.
Okay, fair enough.
Second, beyond that, he's saying that David Rockefeller and the Rothschilds are in hell.
Well, of course they are.
Which is not what you'd expect on a news program.
Well.
Cite your sources, Alex.
Breaking, this just in, Rockefeller sent us a message from hell.
Do you have a...
bummed out about it.
Do you have a hell correspondent?
The weather's real bad out here!
It's hot! Yeah. So, Alex gets another caller, and I will say that the idea of taking protesters, kidnapping them, and putting them on Epstein's Island, pretty bad.
Not a good one.
But this caller outdoes that other one.
All right.
One final thing before I go. I think Trump's October surprise might have something to do with Joseph Gregory Hallett. It could be BS. There are some things that concern me about it, but he is basically claiming the title of the King of England. He's put in papers going back to January. But I think that's what's going on over there in England with the whole royal family running out of the palace and everything right now. So,
well, they're in trouble for all the pedophilia. I don't know about that, but I appreciate your call, Presley.
Okay. Oh, boy.
He put in papers. Yeah. He put in his 2 weeks I'm the king notice.
Yeah, yeah. This is a QAnon thing.
Okay, the QAnon is...
Well, it pre-existed right. QAnon, uh-huh. But it's been really amplified by them.
Sure.
That this guy, Joseph Hallett, is the rightful king of England.
That's just fun. That's just good, clean fun for QAnon.
I mean, it probably has deep anti-Semitism within
totally.
It because...
That's fair.
He believes that the Rothschilds, they took over the British economy after Waterloo.
Of course.
Which, of course, didn't happen.
No.
And after that, they bought the right to direct the breeding of royals.
Who doesn't?
But that contract has run out.
So, hold on. What?
Yeah, so the contract
is
run out.
Is that a thing?
Apparently.
Okay.
And now that the contract has run out, he, Joseph Hallett, is the rightful king of England.
You know, this is so much like...
It has to do something to do with, like, King George V being illegitimate.
Right.
It's a little convoluted, but...
It's just like Project Camelot. Why does all of this eventually boil down to contract law?
It is strange.
There's so much contract law.
I think people had their brains broken by the Star Wars prequels.
That could be.
You know?
Space wizards, but come on, trade negotiations.
Yeah.
You gotta figure that shit out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of the whimsy and fantasy ended up being too grounded in like, in like, how are we gonna get this grain over here? I think people are like, oh, wait, if we're creating fantastic worlds in our heads, we've got to think about that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
What are we doing not talking about grain sales? I just don't understand it.
It makes things less fun.
Oh, boy. So much contract law.
So I think this is really fun because what's going on is that Alex is being bit by his own pet snake, if you allow the metaphor. It's like he tries to take these calls and it's dangerous. Like he tries to present the altered reality where these people who are calling in should be taken seriously about things like Alex's supplements are great, Trump's fighting the globalist.
Sure.
Then they talk a little bit too long and they push a theory that Trump is going to recognize some lunatic weirdo who claims to be the king of England.
God, that'd be so fun.
And that's a theory that only has traction in Q communities. It's like Alex accidentally allowing his callers to talk like it's just allows you to get a pretty interesting glimpse, portrait of who listens to Alex.
He's just been beaten.
Yep.
Like, he's just lost.
Yep.
I guess he doesn't realize that he's 100% lost to Q, because they're not coming back to Alex.
No, you don't generally progress from, like, harder drugs to more, like, stable drugs without help.
The right wing isn't going to go to, like, fucking NA and be like, all right, we're going to go back to Alex's level of crazy. No. We'll just smoke a little weed from time to time, you know?
It's not satisfying once you've had the harder stuff. So yeah, it's troubling, and that's why Alex cuts off his callers so quickly all the time. Like, he's pretty good at that. That guy slipped through talking about the fucking rightful king. So Alex gets to talking about some of his grievances with Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, and I think that he's putting on his Larry Nichols hat, because I think Alex is blackmailing the governor.
Okay.
And the governor, a month and a half ago, put us back down under partial lockdown in Texas, and he said, oh, because we've got to keep the hospitals, you know, not too full, because they're full. And we went to the hospitals. He said they were totally empty. And Abbott's not stupid. So they're blackmailing him. I don't know what Abbott's into.
Are you sure?
I'd have to do with some land deals down in San Antonio.
Contract law.
You know, I really don't have to play hardball with the governor. Maybe I should go meet with some people at the legislature. Certain business groups down in San Antonio that he did 10 years ago. Yeah, there's, you know, I think it's time to take the gloves off a little bit.
Get the fuck out.
Let's just leave right there. Okay.
This is a news show. This is so stupid. Alex seems to think that Governor Abbott is listening and be like, oh no, Alex knows about the land deals. I better allow people to not wear masks. So stupid.
Oh man. This always, I just, after Shadowgate, Shadow Water.
The Gate of Gates.
The Water of Waters. It's hard not to listen to him be like, I've got this secret blackmail information and not juxtapose that with, listen, I've never gotten into the deep state stuff, honestly. Right. I've never talked to... I don't do those serious sources.
I only talk about open source.
I just do the open source stuff.
I just read news.
I don't do anything real dangerous, guys. I mean, yeah, I'm at the vanguard. Sure. I'm at the tip of the spear.
I have blackmail on the governor of Texas.
Of course I do.
And that blackmail is useless now. You said on the air that it's about shady land deals in San Antonio from 10 years ago.
Listen, Governor Abbott, if you do not do what I say, I will reveal the secret that you have a mistress right now in the... Oh, no, I revealed it. Shit!
Yeah.
Shit! Yeah. I am bad at blackmail.
Yeah. So Alex takes another call, and man, they are just like really swinging for the fences in terms of bad ideas.
Okay.
There's no reason for this vaccine. It's being rushed. Your videos with the doctor talking about the versions of the vaccine, the human 2.0, everybody needs to see that. Trump is under currently emergent pandemic protocols. That gives him special permissions. This idea is wild, but charge into these facilities making these different vaccines. I don't know what parts of the world they're in. I don't know who he can find in the military to trust to carry out his executive order, but go into these facilities, find the hard drives, find all the documents you can, find the inventory, evacuate human lives, and blow it off the freaking map.
Well, you know why they listen to that.
What?
You're
now?
So smart. I should have been saying this myself.
Wow. That's Alex's response. Whoa. That's very smart.
That is smart.
Blow up those vaccine
plans. Just blow up those vaccine plans.
Yeah.
Blow them off the earth.
Blow them up.
What, like, what about the MMR? You know, like...
Measles, mumps, and rubella?
Yeah.
Blow it up.
Blow that up, too?
Blow it up.
All of them. Okay.
Ask me some more vaccines.
All right. Well, hold on. Let's
go down the list.
How about hepatitis B?
Blow it up.
No, but that's a really scary...
Blow it up.
All right. I mean, let's... How about we just do this right now? How about PrEP?
Let me stop
you. Are we against PrEP, too?
I'm sure Alex is. Blow it up.
All right.
Alex, this is silly. And I think Alex even recognizes that it's a little bit silly because some of these facilities aren't in the United States. Some of these places are, let's say, in China.
Sure.
And that leads to Alex basically calling for war with China.
Of course.
No, I just say, look, the Joint Chiefs don't want to say China did it because we'll have to go to war with them. Well, they already went to war with us, and they're using it with their cohorts to shut our economy down. And so all I'm saying is I'm not a warmonger. But if somebody attacks us, I say go after them. What do you say?
I'm not a warmonger either, but he's got the power to make a move now. We're all sitting back on our haunches waiting to see what's happening.
Just a couple of non-warmongers trying to monger war with China.
Man.
Just mongering their asses off.
Jesus. 9/11 really fucked us up. That, like,
well, cause
preemptive war is now totally fine all the time. You know, like, no matter what. You have to do a preemptive war, otherwise you'll get 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of, that's permeated all foreign policy.
But it should be, you know, you expect better from Alex, because at least he was against...
Well, he's not a warmonger.
He's not a warmonger.
How many times do you have to mong war for you to become a warmonger, as opposed to, like, just a war dabbler?
I think it's something that you can engage in at times, and at times not engage in.
Okay.
And at times he's engaging in it.
Monging
right now.
War is a contextual event.
Yes, and
gotcha.
In this context... It's quite monged.
It's thoroughly monged.
Yeah.
It's extremely in the Constitution, Dan.
Yeah. So it's been a while since we've got to really take in some intense fake laughing from Alex.
Okay.
And I thought we could all enjoy a little bit here.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
These Satanists are cowards. They treat us like they would act. And then they try to attack us and they hurt us and they kill some of us. And they maim other people and they humiliate us, and all it does is make people's blood boil. And I know that is a diabolical laugh, but it's really, I'm a diabolical person. So, in a good way.
And what?
I'm gonna fake a nice friendly laugh for you. You Satanists are gonna pay bad. So I'm gonna stop now. See, I'm a sinner, folks. I try to be Christian. Try to be good. Be good. Be good. I just don't like you people. I don't like you child molesters. I just want you to know you're going to burn. You understand that? So.
This is a news show.
I can't think of anyone sounding more like a Satanist than that little clip right there.
I can't imagine anybody seeming less, like, well. Like, he seems unwell.
Oh, I want to be good. I want to be a good boy. I want to be a good boy, but I just hate you so much.
He's either going through something really troubling, or he's pretending that he's going through.
Again, which gets back to our, it doesn't matter either way. He needs help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he goes to another caller, and this guy is also, I mean, he actually has a decent question, but Alex's response
should we blow up the buildings?
No, no.
Okay.
No, everyone just accepts that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Why can't we just do class actions and sue, you know, the Soros and the Gates and the Clintons and all the bankers for
because they
for
control the judges and they won't do jack crap.
Give up before
the
you begin.
Courts by and large are controlled. That's the problem. It's starting to change a little bit, like with the Snowden ruling, but most of these judges are scared, and they shoot and kill judges all the time. The globalists do
all the
They'll
time.
They'll just hire some mafia operative, you know, some MS-13 person to go kill them at their house. I mean, judges get shot all the time, and you know the judges are cowards on average. There's some good ones, but
what are they supposed
when they're
to
faced
be?
With what's really going on, they tend to piss themselves. And so many people are blackmailed, you know?
So the caller is asking, why can't we have a class action lawsuit against Soros and Bill Gates?
Nah, they own the judges.
Alex has every answer for this other than because why? For what? On what grounds? It would never make it through the courts?
Well, you don't need to worry about the grounds. The grounds are as red.
Right.
They're bad people.
We don't need to wrestle with the fact that that's a silly, frivolous lawsuit that you would never end up winning.
Sure.
Because they own the courts, so it wouldn't go anywhere. Most judges are cowards who are blackmailed, and they shoot judges all the time. So,
like the idea that there's like, I don't want none of this cowardly judging. I want a warrior judge. I want a judge who's going to fucking mete out punishment in his own courtroom with his fist.
I want a judge who's his own bailiff.
Yeah. excuse me, bailiff. Can I please escort you to the... okay.
That's so dumb.
Oh, boy.
So, this call is not... you know, it doesn't go well because, you know, you want to deal with this in the courts, but Alex has given you 100 reasons why you can't deal with
it in
the courts.
There's no point in dealing with it in the courts.
So maybe we got to go kill people.
Oh, well.
Again, these people that are in power and have all these legal things at their fingertips, and if they're not going to abide by the law or the Constitution, then I say in the end or now, give me the names and the addresses so we know what doors to knock on.
I hear you, brother. What else do you think we should do? Because I'm getting pissed.
That's not good. Not good.
What else should we do after we've doxxed all of our political enemies and sent people to their doors over and over again? What else do you got for me? Because I'm already loving the blow up all the vaccines situation.
Send all the protesters all the to an island. Blow up the vaccine plants. get a new king of England.
Sure.
Yeah.
We've got a murderer's row of great ideas here.
Yeah. Like, if you really just take in the stuff that's coming from his callers, this is an outrageously dumb show.
All right, guys. We got a pitch meeting for the new ad campaign. What do you got? I don't know. Let's show people blowing up vaccines.
Yeah.
All right. That's
and bowing to a new weirdo king.
Yeah. I think that's a great commercial.
Long live the weirdo.
Hey, have you ever seen King Ralph? What if we just did that?
Hey, guys, I really want to impress upon the world that people who listen to me aren't really dumb, so I'm going to talk to a bunch of them. Here's what happens.
Hey, here we go.
Great.
Oh, boy.
So he gets one more call before this here show wraps up, and it's not good. This guy might be taking the idea of an InfoWars army a little bit literally.
Oh, that's not good.
Every man that I've talked to in this area is feeling the exact same way. We can't help it because we're under attack. So my idea that I wanted to put out to you is that you have the connections and you have the inside knowledge that the average civilian doesn't have, but you also have the InfoWars army. And if you call us up, sir, we will come together wherever we need to and put the fear of God in these people.
Brother, I understand. That's why they want us off air, is they're afraid I'm going to do certain things. What are those things? I don't know.
I think you know. I think you know.
Come together. Kill your enemies. Holy shit. If you call us up to active duty,
sir,
in the info war, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So they get to talking a little bit more, and this caller calls Alex a general.
Sure.
And then he has a revolutionary suggestion that...
Haven't you heard his plans? They're the same as the globalist plans.
I think that this is actually one of these interesting things that we've seen a couple times where info warriors accidentally discover really basic protesting. Because this guy is basically just talking about holding rallies.
Oh, okay.
What do you think we should do, Steve?
What has to happen is Alex Jones has to get out from behind the desk, as much as I hate to say it. Put David Knight in charge for now. He's a rock star, him and Owen both. Get out there and tell InfoWars Army, you all can hear me right now. We have to get behind General Alex Jones.
All right, brother, but I'm asking you, what do we do? What do we do? I'm asking you, I mean, go surround the White House and bullhorn them forever? I've done a bunch of marches to open things back up and gone out and confronted Antifa and our crew has all over the country. I mean, we're a small organization. I know we have listeners everywhere that are awesome. What do we do? I'm saying we've got to have a mission.
The last caller was saying that we have power in numbers, and the globalists aren't afraid of us because they don't really know how many of us there are. So we have to gather in mass in one spot, maybe once a month or not that much, but we have to gather and show them what they're really up against.
Hey, brother, I disagree with you. I'm not saying you're wrong overall. The globalists have all this surveillance. They know the liberty movement worldwide is giant. They know the patriot movement, the anti-globalist movement, is their main opposition. They admit in white papers that they're in deep trouble and don't know how they're ever going to defeat nationalism. That's why they're making their move with the UN. So they can ignore big rallies. Rallies aren't bad. We need more than that.
See, what happened there is that Alex got really excited that this guy was talking about the InfoWars army.
Oh, he was going to kill some people.
Yeah, he was getting excited about that. And when
I'm a general.
It turns out he's just like, hey, we should get together in rallies and show that there's a lot of us.
Yeah.
Alex's like, oh.
So you want to run a? Do you listen to my show?
I bought a food truck.
I used a tiny bullhorn.
Hey, guy, I'm rambling about the devil most of the time now. We're past getting together for a rally.
And that's
And also, have you seen my rallies? A couple hundred people show up.
The InfoWars Army, not as big as it used to be.
Not as big as we want to pretend it is. So, I mean, I feel for Alex. It's a disappointing showing from pretty much all of his callers on this episode. They're a disaster.
Especially when the answer for them is clear if they want the protest
new
to
king
stop.
Of England.
No, I mean, the obvious answer is what the right wing has done for forever, which is to give the centrists or somebody in the protest movement just enough to get them to break away, and then they don't have the same power as they used to, and it goes back to being the status quo.
Hmm.
That's what they always do. The only reason they're not doing it right now is because they accidentally elected a lunatic who just can't give up a little bit. It's not hard. They've been doing it since the country started. You give them a little bit and you go back to normal.
And it does seem to be a winning formula.
Yeah.
So we come to the end of the show and, it's bad. It's this episode's a lot worse than actually even some of the clips that I kept in. But a lot of it's just like, I'm not even going to dignify it with talking about. Like, there's a little bit of stuff that I'm just like, oh, wow, that's gross. I don't even want that on my podcast.
You do like the blow-up vaccine manufacturers. That we're fine
that's
with.
That's in the middle.
That's where we are okay with. Yeah. Imagine the disgusting shit.
Yeah, it was not a good show. Jordan, we'll be back for another episode. But first, before we get out of here, let's listen to some calls from our audience.
Sounds great.
Also, all of them. I cut out the part where all of these calls asked
blow
for a new king of England.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
G'day, boys. I was just listening to the most recent episode. All right. It's a quokka. So you're going to need to get that right. Also, I would really love, and you would definitely, absolutely be the gate of all gates, if you boys could do a couple of good Australian accents at the close of the next show. I think it would just be amazing. I'll call back and let you know how you go. All right? Remember, quokka. See you.
Quokka.
Quokka.
It's rare that you get a call from an Australian asking you to
asking
do an Australian
you to
accent.
Insult usually, their very
yes,
people.
Usually,
yeah.
our impressions of Australian accents are very disgraceful.
Yeah, I don't know how to do an understated.
Oi!
Yeah, it's a.
That's all I got. Give me a sentence to say. I'll try.
Don't do the shrimp on the Barbie one.
No.
Just say like, I'll see you down the street at the restaurant tomorrow.
Oi,
that's great.
I can't do accents.
You don't
really.
Do accents. No. It's very interesting that your voice is so incredible that you've just never bothered with
not
accents.
Once.
Like, I've always had to do voices in order to get by, Dan, because well, this nasal bullshit
let's
isn't
hear,
taking
let's hear your Australian, then.
Let's hear oh, shit, now I gotta find it. Mm-hmm. Quokka. Do you know what? One thing that Australians always do is they add like an E to everything, so everything's tiny, you know, like a, it's a shocky, you know, like that kind of thing. Everything's minimized by the E, like, oh, that guy's got a knife, like knifey, you know, he's one of those guys, like, there's roving bands of people with knives and they're called knifeys, and it's just like, it's fine, don't worry about it.
All right, well, call in and back and let us know how Jordan's Australian accent was.
Didn't
and how
well.
Was mine?
Yours was great.
All right, let's see another call.
All right.
Hello, boy. Your receptionist has a very posh English accent, but slightly confusing. But I'm just listening to the latest episode, and I want to jump in and say it's pronounced quokka. I think there may be a debate about to start on the Facebook page about it. Whether or not you think that there's a hard R sound in there or not is up to you, but it's definitely quokka. The other thing I wanted to say was that I just got my test results back for the first quiz that I did since going back to uni, and I got 100%. And I feel like you guys deserve some credit for it, because while I was learning the content and studying, it was like, I already know this stuff was for a critical thinking unit. And, you know, they talk about bad faith arguments and burden of proof. And I'm like, I've been listening to Dan and Jordan talk about this shit for years. So I was all over it. So thanks very much for preemptively teaching me some philosophy stuff. Love your work, all of that stuff. Thanks very much for everything you do, and I hope you're having a good day. Bye!
Quokka!
Ah, oh, it's quokka!
Yeah. apparently pissed off all of Australia with my mispronunciation of quokka. I love it.
Hey, congratulations on the 100% since going back to uni. That's great.
Absolutely. That's,
we're very proud of you.
That brightens the day quite a bit to hear. Positive influences.
I assume it was many of my dick jokes that got you through to where you need to be, right?
Quokka.
Quokka.
Hey, really hope this is Knowledge Fight. My name is Liz. I am a big fan of the show. The reason I'm calling is because I really want to talk to Alex Jones. Primarily because I need to talk to him about the real red pill. So, full disclosure, I am a trans woman. I fucking rock. One of my favorite movies is The Matrix. The Matrix, trans people for a very long time have known to be an allegory for being trans. Recently it has come out more mainstream. The Wachowskis have actually confirmed it. But for a very long time, trans folks knew. And for a very fun fact, in the 90s, in the early 2000s and late 90s when that movie came out, the only form of HRT, of estrogen, available for trans women was a medicine called Premarin. Premarin came in a little red pill. So I need to talk to Alex about the real red pill and, just thank him for providing HRT for so many trans folks. Because I really think that would piss him off, and it would amuse me to no end. Either way, though, love the show. Hope you're having a great time. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Liz.
Yeah, I did not know that.
What?
About the red pill.
Yeah?
Being the first form of,
HRT?
Yeah.
That's neat.
That's very neat interesting trivia. Information.
Although, I will say, it's probably, I agree that it is fun to try and come up with fun trivia that would antagonize Alex,
yes.
But our podcast is probably not the best way to get a message to him.
Yeah, that's not going to,
So I'm sorry if this doesn't get passed along to him, but thank you for the call.
And also, do not call Alex.
No.
Just let that go. It's never going to go well.
Probably not.
No.
Unless you want to tell him about the new King of England.
Ooh.
Then call Alex.
Absolutely.
Tat guys, what's up? I've been trying to work up the nerve to call you guys, but it's early in the morning and I haven't had very much coffee, so I can do it. I was listening to your Bright Spot about those little birdos in your basement. That's so exciting. I was wondering if you've been able to identify them. And I also live in Chicago. My name's Jam, by the way. I think they might be cave swallows or like cliff swallows. They like to make little nests out of spit, and their babies are pretty loud. And their mom's like, catching insects, so that might be who you got there. Also, I'm so excited for you to get old Mantis house phone. That rules. I had mantises as a little kid, and they are very fun. Alright, my nerve has worn off. I love you guys and your podcast so much. You really keep me going. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Yes, thank you very much.
A little update. I went and did
on
laundry.
On Old Mantis house phone?
On and the birds.
And the birds.
I think they've moved along. I think they have moved to another nest.
Oh, they've moved to another nest.
Yeah, because I went and did laundry and the birds were gone, but the nest was still there.
Yeah.
So it's not like maintenance came and destroyed the nest or anything.
Sure. Well, maybe they just flew.
But they were pretty big. Like, they were big baby birds.
Yeah.
So I could see them being about the point where they'd be ready to move along. I don't know how bird behavior works, but I was very sad when I went and did laundry and I didn't see my little friends there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But maybe one day there'll be more there.
Yeah.
And update about Old Mantis house phone.
Mm-hmm.
Still not gotten the Mantis. And to be perfectly honest, I might have been premature in my announcement.
Okay.
For two reasons. One, I'm finding a lot more enjoyment out of plant stuff right now.
Sure.
And I really am leaning into that.
You want to focus.
It's taking up a bit of time.
Sure.
And it's also weaving into house decor.
Mm-hmm.
And
100%.
Trying to make this apartment really feel like home.
Sure.
So
before you get an Old Mantis house phone, you need to have a house
for the house
home.
Phone.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
That's sort of taking up a bit of my emotional attention outside of the show. And The second thing is I realized that I probably don't have a full grasp of how to ethically take care of it. Like,
that's a fair point.
I have a lot of the big picture stuff, but sure. I realized that I wasn't really clear on refuse. You know, like...
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I want to do before I actually get a mantis proper mm-hmm. is create a balanced system within a tank for it. You know?
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
with
yeah.
bugs that...
Yeah, create an actual ecosystem that it can thrive in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That will take the waste from the bug... Sure. From the mantis to... Mm-hmm. Turn it back into soil and
you're gonna get a toilet.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And I realized that some of that's a little bit more difficult than I imagined it would be. And I love the pun so much that I just
you're committed to the mantis.
Yes.
That's
yes.
going to happen.
It will happen, but I also think that it might happen after the winter.
It may take time.
Yeah. It might be a little bit further off than I want it to be, but it will come. I promise.
We all want Old Mantis House Phone to be healthy.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
He's got years of calling in on his
Old Mantis House Phone must thrive.
Exactly.
And I can't be in a situation where I even if it is, you know, some people are just like, it's just a bug.
Just because it's a bug doesn't mean you can half-ass having a pet.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable if it's a dog, if it's a cat, if it's a mantis.
Yeah. 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 So I'm just covering the bases, but it'll happen.
Yeah.
Hey, is this 1-800 bad guys? I'm interested in a couple of your heating melted tanks. I'm looking at the MU120. They need to be able to melt plastisol at 40 to 50 degrees. If you could give me a ring and let me know how much that'd be, that'd be awesome. Thanks.
Shit.
Did you call him back?
No. I don't
Do
have
you know
any
how
vats.
Much it is?
I don't have any vats for sale.
Do you
sale.
Know how much they are, though?
This is not the vat, guys.
What is that? Is that $40?
Our phone
$1,000? $10,000. I don't know how much a vat costs.
Our phone number is a big disaster.
Vat guys.
We got a bad phone number.
Now I want to call vat guys.
I should have got a different phone number. Anyway, Jordan will be back.
Yes, we will.
But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter, indeed. It's at knowledge_fight, and I go to bed, Jordan.
We're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. You download iTunes. If you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I am the actual rightful king of England.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Alex, I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.